Welcome to the Living Waters Church podcast.
Well, if you were with us last Sunday, you were treated to be able to hear Joanne Knight, who is our guest speaker, speak on one of the fruit of the Spirit. And what Joanne talked about was gentleness. One of the things that she said is that gentleness is sometimes seen as weakness, but really it is far from that. In fact, gentleness can very much be a sign of greatness. And when you consider that gentleness, like all the other fruit of the Spirit, is a characteristic of God, it couldn't be any other way. So it's something that we need to practice in our lives. Joanne defined gentleness as strength under control, or being harnessed in loving service, as genuine humility and thought towards others. I really liked how Joanne walked us through the word and to help us kind of discover that in gentleness, there is so much of the character of God. There is justice in gentleness. There is humility in gentleness. There is forgiveness and restoration of relationships in gentleness. And the acceptance of God's word and way just brings us to that place where we can share with others in a loving way and a respectful way the gospel of Jesus Christ. I like how Joanne talked about how spouses, after a period of years, begin to sort of think in the same way. As she said, they kind of rub off on one another. And the same is true, as she said, and I love this, of having an intimate relationship with Jesus. The closer that we draw to Jesus, the more through His Spirit He rubs off on us. And the fruit of the Spirit begins to rise up in us as we become more and more like Him. That illustration is true of all of the fruit of the Spirit, whether we're talking about gentleness, as Joanne discussed last week, or about the fruit that we're going to talk about today, and that is faithfulness. Faithfulness. Well, in the last 3 weeks, I have had the pleasure of officiating 3 weddings. And I have a 4th on tap this coming week on Friday. 2 Saturdays ago, I had the honor of marrying my eldest son, Matthew, to our new daughter-in-law, Caroline. And so there they are. Oh, man, isn't he just a chip off the old block? We had a blast. We had such a good time. And just after that, a few days after that, it was Nikki and James's wedding, and what a celebration that was! Some of us were there. It was a great time. Bree and Josie were there, and yesterday it was Cornell and Maddie. Now Cornell and Maddie Dobrin, and we celebrated their wedding together yesterday in this beautiful outdoor location. It was unbelievable. And if you know anything about Cornell, everything has to be perfect. And so the timing of the wedding was based on the position of the sun and the shade provided by the trees. It was, and everything just kind of went like clockwork. It was really amazing. So this last 3 weeks and into this 4th week is all about weddings for us. And as if that wasn't enough, Linda and I celebrated our 33rd wedding anniversary last Saturday, which was sort of cool. There we are. That scares me when I see that. Not my wife. She's not changed a bit, but I'm hoping for that stash to come back. So all of that to say, you'll understand why marriage, that marriage relationship, is going to form a bit of a backdrop for the message on faithfulness this morning. That's kind of the trajectory we're at least going to begin with. I want to tell you that I love marriage. I love marriage. And I love not only being married, but I love being a pastor who officiates at weddings. It's one of the greatest joys for me. And it's not only because I'm Mr. Romance, because Linda will tell you that I am, if you're doubting that. It's because marriage is so rich in God's design and His favor for us. A wedding is this wonderful, holy moment in which bride and groom enter this covenant relationship that is created by God, that speaks of His purpose for us,
It speaks of the exchange of a deep and a profound love, a profound understanding of partnership, an expressed treasuring of one another. And all of that is set on this foundation of faithfulness. Weddings also remind me that as believers, we are first and foremost, you and I, the bride of Christ. And that we too have entered this covenant promise with him. So weddings remind me that his love establishes all other loves. Weddings remind me of his faithfulness to us. In every wedding ceremony that I have performed, as part of the vows, just kind of before them, there's a statement of intent that I have the couple listen to and then agree to. And we did the same thing with Cornell and Maddie. And Nick, where are you? You guys, okay, you're both there. Okay, Nick and Olivia, you guys are getting married on Friday. So these words will be words that you will agree to. Okay, so get ready for this. All right. This is what I said to Cornell and Maddie yesterday. It's up on the screen for you. Cornell, do you take Maddie to be your wife, to live together in the holy bond of married life? Do you promise to honor and uphold her and to join with her in making a home that she'll endure in love and peace? And do you affirm your purpose of a deeper union with her, whereby you both shall know joy and the fulfillment of love? And do you pledge to her your complete faithfulness through all of the changing experiences of life and of your own free volition? Do you now give yourself to her completely, body, mind, and soul, that from this day forth you shall be hers alone so long as you both shall live? I said that. Cornell said, I do. And then I read the same thing to Maddie, and she said, well, you know, maybe. Ah, she said, I do. I do. See, this is a promise. It's a promise to be faithful. And it is about a faithfulness that is much broader than our culture might define it, which often equates faithfulness with keeping sex within marriage. While the promise includes, of course, sexual fidelity, it's much broader and it's much richer than just a single component. It's a promise of complete faithfulness through all of the changing experiences of life. And if you are married, you know exactly what I'm talking about. See, that is a promise to stick with it. Through the good and the difficult, through the ups and the downs, through all of the inevitable seasons of marriage, this is a promise to stick with it. The promise and delivery of faithfulness are like glue that keeps things together and brings the greatest of hope, particularly when things are at their hardest. Because it says, I am with you. I am with you. I am committed to making this work. See, being faithful is no small thing. It speaks life to today, and it speaks life into tomorrow. And as we're going to talk about in these few minutes as Christians, we can see that faithfulness is a fruit that extends also to all aspects of our lives, and it's an evidence of Christ's transforming work in us. Faithfulness is powerful stuff. It's powerful stuff. Over the last few weeks in our teachings on the fruit of the Spirit, we've talked about how each fruit is a characteristic of God. And we want to continue to do that because it is from his heart through the Holy Spirit that fruit is established in us and we are able to become more like Jesus. It's through his Spirit. The Greek word that Paul uses for faithfulness in Galatians 5:22 is pistis. And it means having a belief, a trust, or a confidence. It's also translated as trustworthiness. Trustworthiness. In the Old Testament, the word used to describe faithfulness as a characteristic of God is met. So along with trustworthiness and honesty, this word in the Hebrew implies absolute reliability. absolute reliability and complete integrity. That is how it is described as a characteristic of God. And in fact, it is the same word that the Lord uses to describe himself in Exodus chapter 34, beginning at verse 5. This is what he said when he met with Moses. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him, and he called out his own name, Yahweh. The Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. See, God can be trusted in all things. He can be trusted in all things. He can be relied upon in all circumstances, no matter what it is that we face. His integrity is without limit. What's cool about this is that this particular context of this verse really presents this clear picture of God's faithfulness to his people, because his words come after the Israelites, in their disobedience, had worshipped the golden calf. And so even in the midst of their unfaithfulness, God was faithful and he remained constant in his love. The psalmists consistently reflect their wonder and thanks for the extreme nature of God's faithfulness. Psalm 36, 5. Your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens, and your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. It's a great picture of God's faithfulness. An ancient Christian hymn captures the fact that God is the essence of faithfulness. And again, even through the most difficult times, we know that he is with us. This is what it says in 2 Timothy. These are the words of Paul. This is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful. For he cannot deny who he is. You see, faithfulness is a characteristic of God. There can be no greater faithfulness than that. Well, we all know that faithfulness has not always been a stellar quality for mankind. And that goes right to the beginning. If he were capable, Abel would not so much speak of the trustworthiness of his own brother Cain, who turned on him in that field and murdered him. Those in the court of King Saul, who saw him love David as his own, would not so much say he was a man of reliability after Saul pursued David and tried to kill him. Judas Iscariot, once a trusted disciple who turned traitor for 30 pieces of silver, he would help us to define unfaithfulness. World history has seen its fair share of broken trusts, promises, and many other failures that have often paved the road of good intentions. You know, many of us in this room have been hurt by someone who has been less than faithful, someone who has broken a trust, someone who has taken away our ability to believe fully in another. And maybe it's because of those past failures, the brokenness of humanity, that the qualities of faithfulness are so highly esteemed and sought after. In other words, the absence of faithfulness serves to remind us of its incredible value to us. Faithfulness in others is important to us. You know, our world celebrates and is absolutely moved by stories of faithfulness on many levels, really. Stories of people who have stuck to it, done the right thing, have persevered, and have exhibited great integrity. I don't know about you, but I've been watching some of the Olympics, and I think American swimmer Michael Phelps is a great example of faithfulness. He is now one of the most celebrated athletes in Olympic history. He won his 19th gold medal on Tuesday of last week, and he's got at least one or two more after that. It really has been incredible. I read an interview with him, and he said in the last 20 years, most of it has been in the pool,
Most of it's been in the pool. So I think, wow, that is such a story about showing up, about being faithful and pursuing a path. And we see the results of that this past week. We celebrate and we are moved by stories who are of people who are reliable, people who can be trusted to do the right thing at the right time, even when there's a cost involved. I read a story this week that the CBC reported on. It was about a 14-year-old boy from back east who was being hailed as a hero after he saved a friend's life. I'm just going to read briefly the news story. It says, on Monday, a group of six teenagers were trying to beat the heat with a swim in Northwest River. Peter Nuna Jr., and there he is, said he was halfway across when he noticed a friend was having difficulty staying afloat. The current was so strong, too, and he started drowning, and he said that he couldn't breathe, said Nuna. At first, Nuna said he was scared and he didn't know what to do because the friend in trouble was bigger than him. Nuna said when he grabbed onto him, he started pulling him back to shore. He said he was so heavy that he almost, like, drowned me three times. They say that it took Peter 10 minutes to get that boy to the shore. You see, he did the right thing. He did the right thing. He didn't give up. He was a faithful friend. We celebrate that kind of faithfulness. We also celebrate the kind of faithfulness that we see in marriages that have been around for a long time. Look at this couple over here. Oh my. I saw that on Facebook a few weeks ago, and I thought, I want to capture that picture because that is going to be Linda and me. Absolutely. In a couple of years, we're going to be there. See, this, I think, is this wonderful picture of faithfulness. Through all of the changing experience of life and all of those things, this commitment one to the other after so many years, a loving commitment and faithfulness. Listen, whether fully recognized by our culture or not, I believe faithfulness is a quality that is highly esteemed because it reflects the unwavering nature of God, our Creator. And it speaks to the most basic needs of security and being loved without fail. It's something that we all desire. And so for us, as Christians, as believers in Christ, who have this supernatural deposit of faithfulness in us through the Holy Spirit, it's important that we press into our relationship with Jesus and experience his faithfulness at greater and greater levels. Because as we do, the fruit will rise up in us and it spills out of our lives and into the lives of others as we become more like Jesus. And it will help us to impact a world around us that deeply desires security and unfailing love. But that faithfulness needs to be in us. We're honest with one another. We would say that being faithful is not always the easiest thing to accomplish because it requires trust. It requires consistency and uncompromising integrity, believing even when it is hard to believe. And the fact of the matter is, in our common brokenness, faithfulness is not always so attainable. But through the work of the transforming Spirit of God in us, it is. It's absolutely possible. And I would say it is necessary for us as followers of Christ. We are to be a faithful people. So as we finish up this morning, I'm going to briefly leave you with three aspects of faithfulness. This is not an exhaustive list at all, but three things that I think are important for us to chew on for a little bit, to think over in terms of the expression of faithfulness and what that would look like in our own lives. So let me begin with the first one, and that is our faithfulness to God. What does faithfulness to God look like? Well, a good place to start is to ensure that God is first in our lives, that God is first. As a faithful believer, we put no one, we put nothing ahead of Jesus. You know, in a culture that is around us that is rampant with idolatry, Jesus must be our first and our consistent pursuit, because it is that pursuit that puts everything that follows into place. That's how it works. The final words of 1 John say it really plainly. Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. You see, we cannot be faithful and love money more than our God. We cannot be faithful and put our personal pursuits of pleasure ahead of Him. Nor can we be faithful if we cherry pick the elements of our faith to make it more comfortable for us and those around us. No, to follow, to allow faithfulness to rise up in us, you and I, we must be fully engaged and embrace Jesus as our very first priority and commit fully to the way of living that comes with that relationship, that covenant commitment that we have made with Him. The church is the bride of Christ. You and I, we are the bride of Christ. And so we ought not to lose the powerful symbolism of faithfulness in that picture. As in a covenant marriage, we are to be faithful to Jesus, and we are to live well, we are to love well, and we are to be committed to a lifelong journey with Him. It's the promise that we make when we surrender our lives to Christ and we commit to loving Him first. He must be first. The second aspect of faithfulness is totally related to the first. And in fact, it flows really out of our relationship with Jesus. And that is our faithfulness to one another. What does that look like? Our faithfulness to one another. John chapter 13, verse 34 says, "So now," these are the words of Jesus, "so now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other." When we talk about this, I want to begin at home. And I want to begin with families, husbands and wives, moms and dads. Your faithfulness is key to your family's success. That means looking out for one another. It means loving unconditionally. It means calling out the best in one another and in your children. As we talked about earlier, as we dedicated Lyric, the family unit is a gift that is given to us by the Lord. And it needs your undying faithfulness. See, today's family faces all sorts of pressures from the inside and the outside. And your role as a parent and a faithful believer is to keep a steady course for your family, to be present and engaged with your family in both the good times and the hard times, because both of those things will happen. We've all seen how unfaithfulness can destroy families. It shakes the very foundations upon which the family unit stands. So families are best served in a consistent environment of love, of life speaking, of the dependable application of good boundaries for our kids, and with a parental model that lives out Jesus in an environment that clearly says, "I am with you till death parts us." Faithfulness serves and it builds the family. Faithfulness to one another also includes this faith community, Living Waters. The body of Christ is an amazing and supernaturally gathered family. I am thankful for this family every day. All of us, as brothers and sisters, we're bound together by this common belief and this God who desires to transform us and change us and draw us even closer together. And like the flesh and blood family that we have, our faithfulness to the body of Christ is essential for our health as a whole. In fact, the Bible says that without our presence, without your presence, it's like the body is missing a part. And we all suffer with that absence. The fact of the matter is, the expression of our faithfulness within the body can only happen when we are present and we are engaged with it. See, Michael Phelps would never have become a world champion swimmer if he had only shown up to practice every second week. And the same is true for us.
This is our family. God has created this community for our benefit, and we need to love it, and we need to protect it, and we need to build on it. Our presence helps us to build relationships. Our engagement allows us to serve and to speak life to one another, to build His church and the kingdom of God. And on that kingdom note, let me just finish with my third point this morning, and that is the aspect of faithfulness to our faith. Faithfulness to our faith. There comes with this understanding that we are a called people. That we are a called people. That we don't simply gather for the sake of ourselves. That there is a much larger calling ahead of us. And so you and I, each we're called to be faithful as bearers of light. We live with a Jesus assignment that is about the love and the redemption of mankind. It's a huge assignment and one that He trusts us with. The worldview which rejects biblical truths and principles is finding deep roots all around us. You just have to listen to newscasts over the last couple of weeks particularly, and you know exactly what I mean. Christianity increasingly faces larger challenges, and that can only require our greater faithfulness in the midst of those challenges. I want you to hear this. I am convinced that the evidence of our faithfulness to His truth and the mission of His church is the very thing that will open doors to transformation for those who will seek life beyond the brokenness of the world that they live in. They who seek truth and justice, they need to encounter loving, faith-filled believers like you and like me who will not stand down or turn away from the truth, but will express it in incredible love. We need to do that now more than we've ever had to do it before. Faithfulness. Our mission is to stand strong. Our mission is to believe well and engage in love with those who need a better way. In this aspect of faithfulness, may we be challenged by the words of Paul in Romans chapter 10. But how can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him? And how can they believe in Him if they have never heard about Him? And how can they hear about Him unless someone tells them? We need to be faithful to the calling. So as the bride of Christ, we are called, each of us, to be faithful to His commands, to love as He's loved, to forgive as we've been forgiven, to do unto others as we would have done to us, and to spread the truth where there is none. And the cool thing is about this fruit of faithfulness is that it is already in us. It is placed there by the Spirit of God. And as we stand up and we engage Jesus more fully, and as we become more aware of that intimate relationship with Him, that fruit just rises up in us, and we become more and more released in this faithfulness. It is for all of us, and it is there. Would you stand, everybody? I'd love to pray for you. Father, we desire to be a faithful people. We recognize today, oh God, Your faithfulness to us. Even in our unfaithfulness, You have been so incredibly faithful. God, thank You for planting through Your Holy Spirit the fruit of faithfulness in us. And Lord, we would pray that through our relationship with You, as we engage and as we are present in that relationship, that faithfulness would just rise up in us, oh God, and flow from us, that we might be a faithful influence in a world that desperately, desperately needs You. Oh God. Oh God. Help us to be a faithful people. Let me leave you with these words from Ephesians 6. Peace be with you, dear brothers and sisters, and may God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you love with faithfulness. And that's how we need to leave this way today, with love and with his faithfulness. God bless you, everybody. Come back this coming Sunday, because it's going to be a cool picnic after 11 o'clock. Leanne is going to be speaking this coming Sunday as well on the fruit of the Spirit. God bless you, everybody. Have a great, cool day out there.